All right, here we are. David Made It presents the legendary Burton Cummings, the voice, the songwriter of the Guess Who, solo recording artist, 1987 inductee, Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Burton, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Just fine. Up in the prairies of Canada, and summer has finally come, and it's wonderful here.
Wow, so it's a long way from Sherman Oaks, California, correct?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, I still have a place. I still maintain a place in California, in Laurel Canyon in Los Angeles. But I'm in Saskatchewan a lot of the time now, and it's close to where I was born and raised. So I feel very much at home.
Great. Great, Burton. And you know, I'm actually in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, very close to Philadelphia. And I would like to start off by saying, I think in like 59 or something, you went to visit your Uncle Bob, right, in Philadelphia with your mom in 56 or something like that.
Wow, you've really done some homework. That's very true. It was 1959. My mother took me, bless her heart, my mother took me to New York City and Philadelphia. We had relatives in Philadelphia, my Uncle Bob and a couple of his kids, my cousins. So we stayed there for a while, and then my mother from there, and we had other relatives in Philadelphia, and then from there my mother took me to New York City. And it just opened my eyes to the world completely. You know, I was a little kid from the north end of Winnipeg in Canada. I had never seen, quote-unquote, a record store. I had been in Woolworths and, you know, different department stores where they had a record section. But at 11 or 12 years old, to walk into a place in New York City, it was an actual record store with nothing in it but records. So it opened my eyes really, really wide to the rest of the world. And just being in New York when you're 11 or 12 years old, it's overwhelming. So it was great. It woke me up. It really woke me up.
Wow, that's very, very, that's a cool story, Burton. And like I said, that, you know, to think that you were in this area. And speaking of, you know, I'll say that we want everyone to check out burtoncummings.com for the latest tour info. And you will be in our area at the Scottish Rite Auditorium on August 4th in Collingswood, New Jersey, right? BRE presents our friends, and, you know, it's going to be a great show.
Yes, October 4th in Collingswood, New Jersey. And, and I'm also doing a cruise, the first cruise I've ever done. In February of 2025, I'm doing three shows over a five-day period. So it's a lot of things are opening up now that I'm back on track. And the fake Guess Who band, I think, is pretty well done for now. And everybody's starting to realize that, hey, I'm the guy that wrote and sang the songs. So we've got a ton of shows coming up. And you know what? The reaction has been great. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing, David. There's something that every singer always wants to hear, that he prays he will hear, and that is, hey man, you sound just like the records. And you know what? People are telling me that, and it's a thrill for me to hear that, because you know what, man? I'm not 19 anymore. I'm getting on in years, and people are telling me, hey man, great to hear you tonight. You sound just like the records. So that's something that has really made me smile in the last few years.
Yeah, and rightfully so, Burton. That's great. And you mentioned Rock Legends Cruise. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a cruise. I will be on that boat with you because, you know, my client is the legendary Robin Trower. So I get to go on that boat and see you and Robin and Greg Raleigh and all these amazing Foghat, all these amazing artists that are, you know, still some yet to be announced. It's going to be an amazing Rock Legends cruise.
Oh yeah, it's good. You know, it's funny how the paths cross in life, David. Robin Trower had a drummer named Bill Lorden for years and years and years. Now, Bill Lorden started out in a group called Gypsy from Minneapolis. Okay. And they toured with us, and we kind of helped them get established. We helped them get a contract with RCA. They were our opening act for over a year. And I got to know Bill quite well. And then the group Gypsy broke up. And the first thing I heard, Bill Lorden, the drummer from Gypsy, had ended up with Robin Trower. So it is funny how the paths cross in the industry.
Yes, everything goes full circle. I mean, you know, for me, the first LP I ever purchased in 1970 was Chicago 2. But the second one, you know, my friend's dad took us out on I-95 racing in a Dodge RT. And he's like, you got to check out this release. It's the Guess Who, you know, Canned Wheat. And, man, I was hooked ever since. And I wound up buying every LP from the Guess Who and then your solo stuff. So I was so hooked. I'm like, the song, it's really about, you know, you and Randy Bachman were amazing songwriters, but then you had Kurt Winter, who was, he reminded me a lot of Terry Kath. He had like a raw guitar energy, like he was ferocious on the guitar. But
Kurt Winter had a completely unique style. His hands were very small. You know, for a guitar player, his hands were very small. His fingers were very short. So a lot of times, rather than he would bend strings in a different way. He would bend upwards rather than down because his hands were so small. And it definitely created a little bit of a unique style in his playing. And many, many guitarists over the years have told me that. So he was unique because guitarists. I'm a lot on social media, and people from all over the world still talk to me about Kurt Winter and Randy Bachman, of course.
Sure. I was looking on your site. I have to get one of those Garnet amps, the swag, the shirt. I mean, like, that's cool.
Yeah. We made those shirts specially. Just as a remembrance of Kurt Winter, because he wrote some great songs. You know, Hand Me Down World was a perfect follow-up to American Woman.
Sure.
And that Randy had just left the band, and we had replaced Randy with a couple of guitar players, and Kurt comes to the practice and shows us this song. Well, I mean, what great words, man. Don't give me no hand-me-down shoes. Don't give me no hand-me-down love. Don't give me no hand-me-down world. I've got one already. You know, that's a tremendous set of lyrics, and we needed something very powerful to follow American Woman. When Kurt came into the band, he showed me that song. I said, wow, there it is, man. It's not a love song, and it's heavy, and that line killed me. Don't give me no hand-me-down world. I've got one already. You know, that song's over 50 years old, and it's still absolutely pertinent. That thought is absolutely pertinent today.
It well said, because that song is one of those songs that just keeps playing in your head over and over, those lyrics that you're absolutely right. It's one of those ones that you gravitate to and you never let go. It's just, it's amazing. But I mean, you know, like I said from the beginning, you know, you guys had Wheatfield Soul and then, you know, Canned Wheat, then obviously American Woman, which like sold like, yeah, that track alone, the LP. But then when Share of the Land came out, it was a switching of gears. But you, there's so many good LPs, like, you know, that you guys put out, starting with Share of the Land. I mean, they're the tracks, the songwriting that, you know, mainly you is the guy that's like, if you go through that whole catalog from 1970 to, let's say, 1975, I guess you can call some of these songs deep tracks, whatever. I'm sure there, some of the tracks were bigger in Canada, but if you go back and listen to those LPs, the writing is just tremendous, and that's you. I mean, BC.
Well, thank you very much. That's another thing that entertainers love to hear, is that their writing is respected. You know, Randy Bachman and I, when we were growing up, we were lucky. We had three AM radio stations in Winnipeg, and for a city of 400,000 people, that's a lot. And each of the three stations was competing for the audience. And so they were at war with each other as far as playlists, what music they were going to feature, the disc jockeys they had, and that constant not fighting, but you know, that constant competition between those radio stations, it allowed Randy Bachman and me to hear all kinds of music, all different genres, And I think that crept into the songwriting. It certainly pushed us ahead as songwriters, definitely.
Yeah, and during that increment, you had, which was, I know you hung with the late Jim Morrison, but that Live at the Paramount, that's one of the, if you go back and listen to that LP and you hear you on that LP, it's just, it's a lot, there's a lot of Morrison, Jim Morrison on that, but that it's so raw, but it's so great. I mean, that's like every time, you know, again, Robin Trower plays that venue, you know, and I'm like, every time I think of the Paramount, I think of the Guess Who Live at the Paramount. That was a really an amazing live release. You know, and still,
I still have people commenting on Live at the Paramount. They say it's one of the best live albums they ever heard. I don't know about that, but we were trying our best and we were touring a lot. So I think the fact that we were working so much entered into the energy on Live at the Paramount. I think you can hear the energy in there.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, I know you played the area quite a bit in our market. I think you played like in the 60s, you played the Lambertville Music Circus, which was like an outdoor tent in Lambertville, New Jersey. I know a lot of big name acts played there. And I know you played, I think later on you played, you know, a baseball game with the Phillies. That was probably like towards the latter part of the Guess Who. But, you know, in 77, I think you came back, played the Spectrum with America on your solo tour, right? And that 76 LP that you put out with Stan, like, that's another, it takes, you know, a different direction. But, again, it's about the songwriting. Amazing stuff.
By that time, I was working with Richard Perry, who was a legendary producer. I mean, he pre-produced You're So Vain by Carly Simon. He produced all the Pointer Sisters hit records.
Wow.
He produced a lot of big records, and, you know, working with Richard, I mean, that was, you know, he would call in Jeff Porcaro for drums. That's where I met Jim Gordon on drums.
Wow.
Being in Richard's world, you were exposed to all the greatest session players in the world, because in the mid-70s, they were all in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, and not the name drop, but my closest friend is Steve Lukather, and I know you did Sweet Sweet in 81, and that's like another cult Burton Cummings release that it's an amazing record. I mean, that the Toto guys,
well,
I mean, Steve
Lukather played on a lot of my sessions. That's where I met Lukather through Richard Perry. I also met Jeff Porcaro through Richard Perry. I also met... Through working at, not with Richard Perry, but working at Cherokee Studios.
Ah, right.
I got to meet Bill Payne from Little Feat, and he played keyboards on Dream of a Child. I got to meet all of the top session players.
The cats.
Yeah. I mean, the absolute cream of the crop. They were always just one phone call away. You know, one day... Bruce Gary from Cherokee, I said, you know, I was doing a song called You Saved My Soul, which ended up being a hit record. And I said, I'd sure like to have some accordion on this, you know, something different. And he called up Garth Hudson from the band.
Wow.
And Garth came down, he had the same accordion that he had played in The Last Waltz, you know, and he did a few tracks. We didn't end up using them because it was a little bit different than what I had anticipated. But here's the thing. One phone call away, and the next thing you know, you got Garth Hudson in your session playing some accordion. So that's what L.A. was like then. Everyone was kind of on call, a phone call away, 20 minutes away, and there you go. You'd have your choice of the best studio players in the world.
Wow, amazing. And you know, you mentioned Lukather. He's been obviously with the Boss quite a bit. You know, Ringo Starr's all-star band, and you know, you had that tenure with Ringo. With I think it was like Joe Walsh and Lofgren, Rundgren, Edmonds, Schmidt. Like you, amazing, right?
I'll tell you another thing, David. I saw Toto when they were brand new. I had just been in L.A. a few weeks, and I heard that Toto was playing at the Roxy, right? Right in the heart of Sunset Strip.
Sure, yes.
Small place, but
yes.
I knew some people there. I got a great seat. Went in and saw Toto. And Hold the Line, their first big single, had just broken, you know. So I saw them right at the beginning. Bobby Kimball was in great voice. Lukather was there. Jeff Porcaro on drums. David Page was still there playing keyboards, who wrote most of the song. I mean, it was terrific. I have a Rolodex of memories that no one could equal. I mean, when I lived in L.A., I went to all the Lakers games for almost 10 years. I was there during the Lakers dynasty.
Wow.
When Kareem and Magic were ruling things, you know, and I went to the Forum a million times. I saw David Bowie there. I saw Eagles there. I saw Prince there. I saw Queen twice there. You know, I've had my share of fantastic concert moments.
Wow.
And I'm still doing concerts. So, and I'm still hearing that I sound like the records. So. Maybe I can bring that same experience to other people that I had.
Seeing my
favorite artists.
I'm sure you're going to, you know, bring it to the Scottish Rite, you know, on October 4th, and then the Rock Legends Cruise February. I mean, I saw you many times solo, and you know, one that stands out with another fellow Canadian. I saw you like in the early '80s at a place called the Chestnut Cabaret in Philadelphia, and you came out and blew the roof off of the place.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah, amazing.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those little intimate places, but I was like, wow, you know, and David Clayton Thomas did the same when I saw him there. So those places don't exist anymore. But again, I'm sure the show at Scottish Rite, I will be in attendance to, you know, at that show. And this tour, is going to be amazing. I know you're going to be playing a lot of great solo hits and as well as, you know, all your songs from the Guess Who. So
absolutely, and we have a tremendous band. I've had the same band now for years, and we're very tight. And I have five guys plus myself, and all the other five guys are singers.
Wow!
Our drummer sings, our bass player sings. So the harmonies are pretty good, David. The vocals are pretty good. I've always been a stickler about vocals on stage, and I think we sound pretty good.
Well, I'm sure, you know, again...
Oh, David, please come back. You say you're going to be at the show. Please come backstage. Let's get a picture together.
Well, I would so love that, Bert. And I interviewed you in the 80s as a journalist, and I would be, you know, thrilled, and I thank you sincerely. As a matter of fact, my wife said, I'm doing an interview for my podcast with Bert today. And she said, just tell him I can't, you know, say how much of a great vocalist and songwriter, and I just love him. So, like,
well, if she's a big fan, she'll like to hear this news. I've just finished a new album.
Wow.
Brand new album.
Wow.
It's got 17 cuts. I wrote most of them. Co-wrote almost all of pretty well all of them. I think my vocals are as good as ever, and the most important thing to me, I think the lyrics are stronger than ever because I'm 77 now. So
yeah.
I've lived a lot more experiences that could creep into my lyrics. The album is called A Few Good Moments, and that's the title song on the album. And the title song, the hook is A Few Good Moments from A Few Good Men could undo a lot of the harm that's been done. And I think that's a great hook. So there you go.
Wow. Well, like I said, I'm looking forward to... hearing it when it comes out, the track and the release, and I wish you great success, Burton, and on this tour, you know, the North American tour, and like I said, keep on keeping on. You're a, you know, a legend, and you know, thank you for doing this podcast, and I'm looking forward to seeing you, like I said, both at the Scottish Rite on October 4th in Collingswood and on the Rock Legends Cruise.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me, David, and we'll get a picture together when you come to the show.
Absolutely, my friend, and be well, and great speaking.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.